Good morning. So I'm going to read the scripture for today. It's from Revelation 7, 9 through 17, the great multitude in white robes. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they, and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
Thank you, Jan. Thank you. Sorry about messing up the scripture platform. A lot of people have celebrated or had special events for All Saints Day. We don't necessarily have it in the Presbyterian Church, but I want to talk about it. Dr. Carlisle Marnie said the way to observe All Saints is to walk out your front yard, salute the people that are on your balcony. The balcony people in our lives are those who have gone before us, who have been our encouragers, who have left a legacy. So we salute all the saints this day, especially from Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian, who have gone before us, whose faithfulness provided us with the faith that we have today, and also with this building and this wonderful property. In John Bunyan's classic work, Pilgrim's Progress, we're introduced to two characters, Christian and Hopeful, who are drawing near to the river of death. And as they reach this river, they are met by two shining figures, whose raiment shines like gold and whose faces shine as the light. These two shining figures are able to lead Christian and Hopeful as they emerge from the river of death into the celestial city. These shining figures are not angels, rather they are the saints of God, shining as lights in the world of darkness and sin. That is who we are. That is who we are to be, shining lights, helping the wanderer find his or her way home towards heaven. One of the most beautiful portrayals of saints is found in our lesson today from Revelation that Jen read. Now notice who these saints are. It says, "Before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb being Jesus Christ." Sometimes we don't think of it this way, but our faith has always been a universal faith. It's amazing that so many Christians forget this and think, well, we're the only Christians. Our denomination is the only true faith. Saints of God come from every color, every language, every sex. Pastor John Orthberg tells a wonderful story about Clarence Jordan, best known for his Cotton Patch Gospels. Jordan went one time to a revival service at a church in the Deep South, and this was more than 50 years ago when segregation was the norm in the South, the kind of culture I grew up in. Clarence Jordan got up to preach and he realized that congregation was not segregated at all. There were black folks and white folks sitting next to each other worshiping God together. After the service, he asked the pastor, an old hillbilly preacher, "How did your church get this way?" He said, "What way?" Clarence Jordan said, "Well, black and white folks all sitting together, integrated. Is that because of what the Supreme Court did?" The preacher answered, "Supreme Court? Why would Christians need the Supreme Court to tell them that blacks and whites can worship together?" And Jordan asked, "Well, how did it happen? What's the history?" The old preacher said, "Well, there used to be about 20 people in this church. When the old preacher died, they couldn't get no one to preach. So after about 2 months, I told the elders, I'll preach. They couldn't get anybody else, so they said, yeah, go ahead. So I got up the next Sunday, opened my Bible, put my finger on the verse that says, 'In Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus.' So I preached on that, and I told them how Jesus makes us all one together. When I finished, the elders said that they wanted to talk to me in the back room. When they got there, they told me that they didn't want to hear that kind of preaching no more. Clarence asked, 'What'd you do?' The old hillbilly preacher said, 'I fired every one of them there elders.'" Clarence Jordan was amazed. "Why didn't they fire you?" he asked. He said, "Well, they didn't hire me to begin with, so they couldn't fire me. And you know, once I found out what bothered those people, I gave it to them every single week. I put the knife in the same place, Sunday after Sunday, and twisted it." Jordan was stunned. "And they put up with it?" He said, "No, not really. I preached that church down to 4 people." So sometimes when a revival happens, not when people come in, but when people go out. If people were going to stand in the way of the moving of the Spirit, it's just best that they be gone. After that, we decided that we were going to build the church on people who actually wanted to follow Jesus Christ, and that's when it started to grow. That night, Clarence Jordan stayed at the home of a member of the church who was a professor, graduate of Yale, PhD in English. He drove 70 miles each week to go to this hillbilly church. Clarence asked that brilliant young professor, "Why do you go to that church to hear an old hillbilly preach? You got a PhD from Yale, and that preacher can't even say one sentence grammatically correct." Young man said, "Sir, I go to that church for one reason. That man preaches the gospel." And that is the gospel. All people on the earth are represented around the throne of God. That's the first thing we need to see about the saints of God this day. And here's the second thing. Notice how they are dressed. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. White is, of course, symbolic of holiness or purity, cleanliness. And these saints were in the presence of a holy God, which meant that these must be holy also. I don't know about you, but I don't know very many people that I would really call holy. I know some good people. But how did these saints in heaven get that way? Because they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and their robes made white from the blood of the Lamb. We don't talk about it too much in church, about being washed in the blood. We almost have moved past that, like the blood of Jesus doesn't count. We don't want to deal with that kind of violence and that kind of cruelty. And Revelation is simply a symbolic way of saying that the saints have been made worthy to inherit that which was promised by the Father because of Christ's atonement on the cross at Calvary. In other words, they were standing around the throne the same way all of us will stand around the throne of God one day, by the grace of God. Because if getting into heaven were a matter of merit, I don't think any of us would make it. I know I would not. There's a story about Billy Graham. In this story, Graham is in heaven dining with God. The only thing in front of him is a couple of tuna fish sandwiches. While they're eating, looks down in Hades or hell, and he sees them eating lobster and steak and creme brulee. He looks to God, says, you know, not that I'm complaining, but why are they eating so lavishly and we're having tuna fish sandwiches? Well, says God, with just the two of us up here, I figured, why cook? If getting to heaven were based on merit, maybe Billy Graham might make it. Maybe a few others might make it into heaven. But you and I think we might be on the outside looking in. Our admittance to the select company will not be based on merit, which so many people still believe, but on God's unconditional love for us, God's amazing grace. You may think sometimes that we talk about grace too much in the church and forgiveness, but you need to understand that there are many people, even people within the church, who do not really believe that God loves them unconditionally. And even if they accept Christ as their Lord, they're still going to go to hell because of sins. Reverend Billy Hornsberg, in his book, The Attractional Church, tells about his experience in the Christian faith. He grew up in a very strict Christian household. He said that he and his siblings each had chores to do every day, like preparing their own breakfast and even ironing their own clothes. One morning when Hornsby was around 10 years old, he was ironing his shirt before school, and he could just barely see over the top of the ironing board, and the iron hot fell, hit him in the chest, the hot part of the iron. So he runs to the kitchen to get ice to put on it, screaming, hurt, and pain. And he says, Mama calmly looked at me and said, there, God is punishing you. He said, if she said something like that, once she said it hundreds of times, God is punishing you. It was her doctrine of God and forgiveness that she had been taught, and she wanted to make sure that her children knew the consequences of their actions, of everything that they did. This was my experience, and it was what I had as a basis of faith. Do bad and get punished, but never forgiven. I desperately wanted and needed forgiveness. He met an atheist one time who told Hornsby there was no God. This made Billy Hornsby mad. He said, I knew that there was a God in heaven because he had been punishing me all my life according to what my mama had been teaching me. Strangely enough, this atheist statement about being no God motivated Hornsby to go into the scriptures and learn for himself who God is and what God actually expects out of each one of us. In his research, he discovered a God where hope is there, where love is there, where acceptance and forgiveness is real. There's still far too many religious people who have a God who plays havoc with their lives and who punishes them for things that they don't even know that they've done. So it's important to note that the saints of God have all their sins taken away because of God's great love for them. So notice who they are and how they're dressed. And finally, notice what they have come through. These are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They've had their robes washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. These are those who have come out of the great tribulation. It's important, I believe, for us to understand that God's promises are to a very special group of people. Those who follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Sure, we're accepted just as we are, but once we turn to Christ, we're to seek to live lives like Jesus led his life. Love as he loved, and forgive as he forgave. Many of us have a mushy kind of faith that says, everything's all right. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It doesn't matter what you do with your life, you think. I can go ahead living for myself because I've been saved. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior, so I can live for myself. It doesn't count about the other people around me. We're all too often like the little boy who says to his father, "Father, let's play darts. And when I throw the dart, you say, 'Wonderful, great.'" That's really what we want from God. Tell us that we are wonderful. Tell us that we are accepted. Tell us that we are forgiven. Tell us that we are loved. But don't tell us that our robes are dirty. Don't tell us that there are some changes that each and every one of us here today, and I'm number one, that need to make some changes in our lives. Don't tell us that we need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. So let me repeat those important words from Max Lucado. God loves us just as we are, but God loves us too much to leave us that way. He wants us to be like Jesus. Who are the saints around the throne of God? Everybody on this earth is a candidate for sainthood. None of us is worthy of it because of what Christ has done for us in his death and resurrection. It comes as a free, generous, graceful gift. Once received, we are to bring light to a dark world, lives that reflect the glory of our Lord and our Savior. So I ask you today, are you a saint? And I tell you, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a saint. Now, you probably don't feel like a saint, but it's not on your merit. It's on what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, we just have to go out and live like we are saints of God. May God bless you. Amen.